The scripture today is Matthew 17, 1 through 9. I'm reading from the New International Version of the Bible, the Transfiguration. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up high on the mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Then, just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son, from whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down on the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. May the Lord bless the reading of his words. Amen.
So, we have this story, this celebration, this observance, which always falls on the last Sunday before Lent. That's when the Transfiguration is remembered. And this was an event that happened during the lifetime of Jesus. And as far as events go, it's kind of a non-event. There were no miracles performed. There was no healing. There was no moving of mountains. Just they went up the mountainside. They saw something strange and they went back down. I think of times in my life when I have climbed a mountain in the middle of the night so that I could watch the sunrise from the top. And sometimes that has worked well for me, and sometimes it didn't, because I remember one particular instance where we climbed a mountain in the middle of the night. There were a bunch of us. We were obviously very young at the time and thought that was a good thing to do. And so we climbed the mountain in the middle of the night, and then we waited and waited. We got there kind of early, waited and waited and waited for the sunrise. And of course, the sun did finally rise, because the sun rises whether or not you're up at the top of the mountain. It was a very cloudy day, and we really didn't see the sunrise. So it was kind of disappointing. I mean, it was fun, but we went back down and had breakfast. But nothing really happened here. It's not the transformation. Jesus didn't change from any one thing into any other thing. He didn't become a different person or a different being. He didn't suddenly become the Son of God at that point. It was a transfiguration, just a difference in the way that he looked. He was the same as he had always been. The other thing that happened was there were 2 others with him. It's interesting that Peter, James, and John, who were contemporaries of Jesus, immediately appeared to have recognized Moses and Elijah as Moses and Elijah. They had no photographic evidence from the past to know what they would look like. Some artists speculate that Moses was carrying the tablets of the Ten Commandments, which would have identified him. Who knows what Elijah might have been doing to identify him, but they were there, they were with him, and they appeared to be very real, because Peter's response, being the eager beaver that he was, oh, we've got 3 important people here. Let's build 3 shelters for them. These people appeared to be very real, not just spirits or visions, but actually there. So let's consider who these other two are. If Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus is all sufficient, what's the importance, what's the significance of having these other two there? Moses was the first one. Moses is an extremely important figure. He's the beginning of the nation of Israel. He's the one who led the people out of Egypt, across the wilderness, and he went up the mountain, notice, and communicated directly with God There was a significant fear of seeing God's face. There's even a story where Moses said, I want to see your face. And God said, you can't see my face, but I'll let you see my back. You hide here in this rock and I'll walk past and tell you when you can look. So there was a fear of seeing the face of God. And yet, when Moses was up on that mountain, his communication, his experience in being with God, being alone with God on that mountaintop, receiving the law, was such that when he came down, his whole face was shining. It was glowing to such an extent that people were afraid to look at his face, and he had to wear a veil. He would come down from the mountain, he would wear the veil. He would go talk to God, he would come out, he would wear the veil, so that people wouldn't be overwhelmed by this brightness. So Moses had a real epiphany experience up there. The presence of God, the bright lights, the whole thing that we've seen in other epiphany experiences. And the importance for us, particularly as Christians, is that Moses was the giver of the law, or the messenger of the law, the conduit. God gave the law to Moses. Moses gave the law to the people so that there would be no direct contact. So Moses represents the law, which is a gift because it teaches people how to live with God and with one another. So that's Moses. And then the other one was Elijah. Elijah represents the prophets because he was an amazing prophet, did all kinds of amazing, miraculous things, and was one of the first in a long line of prophets who spoke for God. That's what prophets do. And one of the best known experiences of Elijah was he was at Mount Carmel. Again, we've got a mountain here, and it was a contest between the one prophet Elijah and the priest of Baal. And they each set up their sacrifice. They were not allowed to put any fire to it because the contest was whichever God is the real God is the one who is going to send the fire to consume the sacrifice. So the other 400 or 40 or whatever it was, many, many, many other priests did all kinds of stuff to make their God listen and to make the sacrifice be burned, and nothing happened. And Elijah drenched his sacrifice. He put a moat around the altar. He made it so that it couldn't possibly catch on fire. And then he prayed and the fire came down. So again, we have this epiphany experience, God's presence being made obvious with light and fire and flame. And so Elijah represents the prophets and prophecy. And so here we have Jesus, who frequently went up the mountain. He often went up the mountain to pray and other things. And he too is having a mountaintop experience here. Again, it's an epiphany type experience. There's light, there's brightness. And in this passage, in Matthew 17, while all this happens, there's a bright cloud and a voice that says, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased." Now, you might be thinking that you've heard these words before, and indeed you have. You have heard these words in Matthew's gospel in chapter 3, verse 17. Pretty sure that's where it is. When he was baptized and he came up out of the water and the voice from heaven said, "This is my son, the beloved, in whom I am well pleased." So at the very beginning of the Epiphany season, we have this baptism event and these words from heaven. And now on the very last Sunday of the Epiphany season, we have these words with the voice from heaven. And we have Jesus representing the gospel. And we have heard Jesus say in the gospels that he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. In the Jewish tradition, the law and the prophets was everything. That was the basis of their scripture. That was their scripture. The law and the prophets was their guide for life. And he says, I'm not come to abolish them. I'm come to fulfill them. And here he is with the representative of the law, with the representative of the prophets. They're all together. They're talking together. They're obviously on very good terms. And then the other two are gone. And Jesus is standing alone. And Peter, James, and John don't see anybody else. Just Jesus. Because Jesus is complete. Jesus has fulfilled the law and the prophets, not made them go away, but incorporated them into everything that he teaches. So when Jesus took these three up to the mountain, it wasn't because he wanted them to see how cool he was or how brightly he could shine. It wasn't even that he wanted an opportunity to introduce them to people who had disappeared long time ago. Another interesting thing about Moses and Elijah is that there's a certain amount of mystery surrounding their deaths. When Moses was very old and he finally died, the scripture tells us that no man knows where he was buried. He went up onto the mountain. And presumably God buried him because nobody ever saw him again. And Elijah, you may remember, was taken in the view of Elisha up into heaven, living in chariots of fire. Another epiphany event. And another overcoming of death event. So all three of these represent that. And this is a good thing for us to remember as we head into the period of Lent, the time when we remember Jesus going through the wilderness, being tempted by the devil, being hungry, being tired, being weary. But this isn't just about how Jesus looked, which was spectacular. It was how Peter, James, and John saw him. And how we see him. How do we experience Jesus? Do we experience him as bright and beautiful and all-fulfilling, incorporating the law and the prophets and all the scripture into the simple commandment to love God and love one another? That's what this is for. Again, my sermon title came from the scripture because their eyes were dazzled, just like the person who's here on the screen behind me, by this brightness. But the real sermon title should probably be Stop, Look, and Listen. That's what the voice said. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. You've seen him as he truly is now. Go and pay attention in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.